Good morning, church family, and welcome to this week's online service, and a happy Palm Sunday to you all. Now, again, I want to thank you this morning for taking time to be part of these online services. These are different days for all of us, and during this time, we believe that God wants us to move forward, he wants us to move forward spiritually. He wants us to move forward in our united ministries in our community, to our city, our state, and around the world. And so, as we navigate this unique moment in world history, I'm so glad that you make it a priority to come to be with us here online. I don't know about you, but I am personally looking forward to the day when we can all be together in the same place, worshiping God side by side. But until then, we are going to leverage every single moment and make the most of every opportunity as we gather in individual homes and apartments all across this region and all over the world today. And we do so, our gathering is in the name of Jesus Christ. As a pastoral staff, we continue praying for your finances. We continue to pray for your health and for your spiritual well-being. It is our prayer that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul doth prosper. We're believing during this time you will not only survive, but you will thrive, and that you will stand out as one that is blessed of the Lord during this season. Now, moving on this morning, we're going to conclude our series on the five sola. Sola is a Latin word we've come to understand as one meaning alone, nothing added to it. It stands alone, sola. Same root word from which we get solo, doing things alone, or in this particular case, nothing is added to it. You see, the Roman Catholic Church of the 16th century, they emphasized, rather than sola, they emphasized eta, E-T-A, which in the Latin means and or plus. So something is always added, which bred a theology of Scripture plus tradition, grace plus the sacraments, faith plus works for salvation. The Protestant reformers, believing that the church then of its time had lost its way, they set out to bring reform, and they declared it is sola scriptura, it is scripture alone. It is sola gratia, which is grace alone. It's only through the grace of God we're saved. Sola fide, which is faith alone. And then sola Christos, which is Christ alone. And we'll discover today this sola de gloria, which is the glory of God alone. Now, when you put all of these five solas together, it makes an amazing statement about faith. Listen to the way it sounds when we add all five together. Scripture alone is the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct, showing us that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Therefore, all glory goes to God alone. Let's look at that one more time. Scripture alone is the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct, showing us that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Therefore, all glory goes to God alone. Sola de gloria, which is glory to God alone. The Westminster Short Catechism asks a question. It's a very good question, a question I believe that goes beyond any denomination, and it's one we should all ask. The question they ask in this catechism is, what is the chief end of man? Another way of stating that would be, what is the purpose of man? When he comes to the end of life's journey, what will really count? So what is the chief end of man? To which they quickly answer in their catechism, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The reformers, including Martin Luther, they became very concerned at the subdividing or the splintering of glory, which the scriptures declare was meant only for God alone. They observed the church of their day, exalting church leadership, the popes and the archbishops and the priests and all the other categories of leadership, and in some way drawing attention away from Christ and to man. They began to venerate the saints. And as they were venerating the saints of the time, they were teaching that these saints were intercessors for the dead. They were role models to be followed. They were holy helpers. And so rather than going to God, you would go not through Jesus Christ, but you go through one of the saints or through Mary. And so they began to exalt Mary, the mother of Jesus. They began to exalt others as well, Saint Christopher. Matter of fact, as you begin to read through the list of those that they have venerated, there's more than 1,000 that has been added to that list. It is an amazing list. And the reformers looked and they said, it's not right that we should be taking glory that belongs to God alone and giving it to men. Luther saw this veneration then of the saints in his day as becoming idolatrous, and therefore robbing God of the glory that was due to him and to him alone. Now, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, here's what the Lord says. I am the Lord, that is my name. And then he says, I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Look at that verse one more time. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield, I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Now, as you read that word glory there is used in this context, refers to God's authority, to his majesty, to God's splendor, his power, and the honor that is rightfully due to him and to him alone. Now, friends, we need to understand, we do not create glory. We are not the authors of God's glory. God's glory remains whether or not men praise him or honor him or not. Our role is not to create God's glory. Our role is to be men and women that absolutely come alongside and we ascribe glory to God, to whom all glory is due. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 to 29, it says this, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory, there it is, declare his glory, not make his glory, but to declare his glory amongst the nations, his marvelous deeds amongst all people. For great is the Lord, there's his glory, and most worthy of praise, our role, he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Think about that for a moment. The Bible says the very presence of God, the very home of God is filled with joy. Yes, strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord. Notice here, our role then is not to make God's glory, but to ascribe, to tell others and to proclaim God's glory even to God. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Now, the word that is used there for glory is doxa, which means to express one's opinion. You know, we live in a world where everybody's got an opinion about something. And the word doxa literally means to give one's opinion. However, as it is used in the New Testament Greek, it always refers to giving a good, honoring report. It always is a good, positive opinion in the New Testament Greek. So to glorify God is to express your opinion of God and your desire to bless his holy name. It is to glorify him and express your opinion. Friends, if you know the Lord, there's only one opinion. That's a good opinion of God. God has been so good to each and every one of us. And the Bible says, if we will not praise him, even the rocks itself will cry out. Yes, to glorify God and to express your opinion of God is what doxa is all about. It means to give a favorable report, a declaration of God's glory. In Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not all of his benefits. I want you to think for just a moment of all of God's benefits. The benefits of this past week alone. Every breath we've taken, every meal we've eaten, the safety as we've traveled, every detail of every day, God has been there. And God is the force and the presence behind every blessing in everyday life. And the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not all of his benefits, who healeth thy body and forgives your sin. And he lists it going on and on of all the good things God has done. So to glorify God then is to express your opinion of God. Friends, I'm so glad that we have the privilege of expressing not only to one another, but as the psalmist says, we can express our opinion directly to God and tell him how much he means to us. You see, when anything in creation fulfills its mission for which God created it, it naturally brings glory to God. If it is created by God and all things have been created by him, leaving out nothing, so all things created by him, when anything in creation fulfills its mission, it brings glory to God. Now in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, listen to what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The Bible is literally saying, if you look up at the starry sky at night and you see that sextillion stars that are out there shining in space, not only bringing light, but literally filling the atmosphere with a glory or a presence of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Listen, verse 2. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Day and night, they reveal knowledge. The psalmist is saying that these stars and the planets out in space, they're literally making a proclamation. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voices go out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world, they are declaring the greatness of God. Remember, all of mankind, along with all created things, we are to bring glory to God. Now in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, listen to what it says here. This is a wonderful vision that Uzziah saw. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw this vision. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying, and they were calling out one to another antiphonally, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now look at that last phrase. The whole earth is full of his glory. All creation was reflecting and ascribing glory to God, from the stars above to all things on the earth below, the birds of the air, the fish in the sea, the beasts of the field, even the trees of the field, the Bible says, they clap their hands unto the Lord. So if you are a carpenter today, a mason, a doctor, a teacher, an architect, a gardener, our role in life is to bring glory to God. And when we do what we were created to do and gifted by God to do, as we perform these in daily life, we're bringing glory to God. I think of Johann Sebastian Bach. This young man, as he would produce his music, and especially the sacred pieces that he wrote. On the bottom of each and every one of these pieces, he would write SDG, Sola Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. He understood that the ability to write music was a gift from God. And as he used his gift and gave it back to God, he also understood that everyone that sang it was giving glory to God, and the very piece, the very fact that he wrote it was giving glory back to God, that he was merely an instrument through which God was flowing. So if you're a mechanic today, do it for God. If you're a carpenter, carp for God. If you are a doctor, I want you to heal for God. I want you to use these times and seasons of your life and to bring glory to God in all that you do. Yes, it's all of creation giving glory to God and bringing glory to God alone. Now, God works in our lives. And when God works in our lives, he works for our good, but for his glory. When he heals, it's for his glory. When he saves us, it's for his glory alone. Miracles are for God's glory and God's glory alone. So all that God does, everything he performs, is for our good. We are the benefactors, but ultimately it is for his glory. The Bible tells us that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that gets saved. And it's all of heaven rejoicing. There's glory happening in the heavens when we make a commitment to Christ. All of salvation is for the glory of God. All healings are for the glory of God. There's a story in the scriptures about a young man that had been born blind. And the disciples asked Jesus, "Jesus, who has sinned? His parents or this young man that he'd be born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither his parents nor this young man had sinned, but rather this was going to be for the glory of God." Friend, I'm not sure what you're going through at this very moment, but I want you to know this. When the dust is settled and when God has worked on your behalf, it is for your good, but also for the glory of God. And he's going to be exalted through the miracles that he's working right now and the things he's creating behind the scenes for your benefit. It is for our benefit, but it's also for God's glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, it says this, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Look at that verse one more time. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Now, when you read this in the original context of the Greek, it's literally, "In all things and everything, nothing excluded, bring glory to God in every single action, deed, thought, whatever it is in your life, whatever you do in any category, let it bring glory to God." Now, the context of this verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is a rather interesting context. It addresses, if you look at the totality of chapter 10, of legalism and those that were trying to bring legalism into the church of Corinth, imposing at that time non-scriptural rules and regulations on themselves and upon others. The battle directly at hand that you read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 was that of eating meat that had been offered unto idols. And the church was becoming divided over it. Believers were taking sides. One group said, "You know, there's nothing to an idol. It's just a carved piece of wood or a cast piece of metal. There is nothing to an idol. Therefore, if meat was offered up to an idol, it was offered to nothing that really honestly exists. Therefore, it's nothing." And so to buy that meat and take it home and eat it, and to buy it at a bargain price, which it often was when it was offered onto an idol, the believers were divided. Some were saying, "That's absolutely wrong. You should never do that." And others were saying, "It's no big deal at all." And so Paul, as he addresses it, rather than entering into a whole battle of do's and don'ts, he simply declared, "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so he says, whether you eat or whether you drink, Whatever you're doing in life, including these categories, do all to the glory of God. In so many words, I believe Paul was simply saying to the church there of Corinth, if it doesn't bring glory to God, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. I remember my mother saying to us as children, as we were young, and it has stuck with me all my life. She would say, you know, if you can't bow your head and pray over that activity and ask for God's blessing upon it, then maybe you shouldn't be participating in it. Paul is saying the same thing. Whatsoever you do, whether it's an act, word, deed, something you eat, something you drink, everyday actions of life, whatever it may be, in all categories, do all things to the glory of God. And if you can't believe that it's going to bring glory to God, then maybe you should not be doing it. In Revelation chapter 4, we find this scene of heaven. It's a marvelous, it's incredible, it's a glorious scene. Listen to what it says. And this portion of Scripture is yet to be fulfilled. One day you will be a part of it as the children of God. Around the throne of God, listen to what takes place. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat upon the throne, that is before God, and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Sola di gloria. It is for the glory of God alone. Let's think about where we've been now in the last few weeks. It's sola scripture. It is scripture alone. It is grace alone that we find our salvation. It is faith alone that brings us in our connection with God. It is through Jesus Christ alone that we find salvation. There is no other name given under heaven whereby a man must or can be saved. And it's all for the glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Augustine said this, one of the church fathers. He said, our heart is restless until it rests in you. Friend, I want you to know you'll never find rest for your soul. You see, we are created as a body, a soul, and a spirit. There's the physical part, there's the emotional part, and there's the eternal spiritual part of all of our lives. And the Bible says that we were created by God, for God. And it's only in our relationship with God does life make sense. It answers the questions of how we got here, what our purpose is for being here, and where we will go and spend eternity. I'm so glad that God has an eternal plan for every one of our lives, and it's found in Christ alone, his grace alone, his mercy alone. The Bible tells us a story back in the book of Genesis, and that account is the account of Noah and the flood. And the Bible tells us as the floodwaters began to recede and the ark is now resting on Mount Ararat, that Noah went up and opened the window on the top of the ark and he sent out two birds. One was a raven, the other was a dove. The raven went out and the Bible says the raven never returned. I'll tell you why. Because the raven is a bird that will eat anything. I mean, they're scavengers. And as the raven looked out and saw on the waters the decaying corpses of all that had died on the earth, he looked at it, that bird looked at it and said, this is a smorgasbord. Who could want anything more? I've got all I could ever imagine. And so the raven went out and never returned back to the ark. The dove, when it was sent out, the Bible says, it went to and fro. It looked everywhere to find a place to land, could not find anywhere to land its feet. The dove, being a bird that eats on berries and seeds and Only those kinds of things will have nothing to do with that which is dead and decaying, like the raven. And so the dove came back, not finding any place to rest, nor finding anything to eat. And the Bible says that Noah reached out through the window, and I can just kind of imagine this dove coming down and maybe just settling on the top of his hand. And he brings him, very clearly it says in the Bible, and he brought him back into the ark. Friend, maybe some of you have been out there, and you've been in this world, and you're trying to figure out, why is there no satisfaction? Why is there no peace? Why is it that I feel like I'm just wandering about, and there's no direction, and there's no hope for my life in this kind of a lifestyle? And you look around and you see the ravens of life, and they're picking away at the dead and decaying things, and you would say, I have no part of that. That is not what I want for my life. And like the dove, some of you today are going to return back to the ark, and you're going to find the hand of Almighty God reaching out, and he's going to receive you and bring you back into the ark, into the very ark of God's safety. I want to pray for you today. If you feel as though you are one of those that are just in this very moment trying to figure out, where is peace? Where do you find peace? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he brings us a peace that passes all human understanding. And he cares for you. He loves you dearly. And I want to pray for you right now. And if you want to come into relationship with Jesus Christ, I encourage you to pray along with me, right where you're at. Will you bow your heads for a moment? That's right, right in your home. Father, we're so grateful. Grateful that you had so loved mankind that you would send your Son on a mission to seek and to save the lost. Father, we're so glad that where sin abounds, your grace does much more abound. Lord, as we look about and see a world filled with ravens that are picking away at the dead and decaying things round about us, and it turns our stomach. You say, how in the world can you live that way? How can you find joy in such activities and such things that are so debauched? Lord, I'm so glad that you have sent out in these last few weeks the Carillon call in a phenomenal way, saying life is short, eternity is long, it's time to get right with God. Lord, for some, these friends once walked with you, but somehow along the journey, they got so caught up in so many other things, just like the raven, caught up in dead things, things that do not produce life, things that will not count one second after we take our last breath. Lord, we're so glad that you're calling us back and that we can sense your hand out the very window of the ark saying, come, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace of mind. I'll forgive your sin. I'll give you a restart. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you would come and take our place on a cross of Calvary. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I abandon my old ways, the old ways of the raven, picking away at the dead and decaying things of this world. Take me into the ark. Hold me. And from this day forward, we are going to declare your glory. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the day you've written our names and the day you write our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord, for all the miracles you perform for us, all the times you've protected us. Lord, we're going to apply doxa in our lives. We're going to give our opinion of God. And you are so good. You are so marvelous. It will take us all of eternity to declare how good and marvelous and great you are. Let me pray for your family right now. Family members, once again, will you just kind of take each other by the hand? That's right. As you're holding the hand of husband, wife, brothers, sisters, I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for each one and every family. Lord, I pray that there would be no fear. I pray that they would know the grace of God, the peace of God. I pray, Lord, that they would, in this very moment, just feel like they're in your mighty hands. And that they would know that no harm can come. You're our protector. And I pray, Lord, that there'd be peace. I pray there'd be joy. Lord, I pray that some of the lessons, Lord, that we can learn during this season will not be lost, that we'll embrace them for a lifetime. Lord, I pray your blessing, Lord, upon every home. Lord, I pray for the blessing of prosperity. I pray for the blessing of health. And I pray their soul will prosper in this season. And we're going to thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in all of our hearts, all of our lives, in Jesus' name.